I really love this new CD. I really do. I
Thank
think it
you.
is one of
Thank
the,
you.
it is definitely going to be on my top 10, 20, 30, 40 of 2024.
Oh man, thank you so much. I really
Yeah,
appreciate that. Means a
really,
lot.
it's beautiful. And what I love about the Queen of Kings County is the music is just so organic. You know, it doesn't have that calculated feel of, and I hate this marketing term, alternative jazz. You know, you can, it's just, it is beautiful. The music is very much rooted in African American classical music, which is what I call jazz. You have some really nice hip hop, classic soul, and R&B influences. And I loved your rap, by the way.
Oh,
It's
thank
in
you. Thank you.
2011. Let me ask you this. This is this not your first CD,
This
correct?
is my second album.
Second album, okay. So what went into it? What inspired you to just pick such a wide range of influences?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Black Wall Street name, when I created it, well, I didn't create it. Black Wall Street is an event that happened in Tulsa,
Oh,
Oklahoma. But
yeah.
when I began to write the music, the set of repertoire I was calling Black Wall Street, like this was like the Black Wall Street collection. Over time, because we played, the group played so often, I mean, we played for maybe like 6 or 7 years before we even put a record out. We've been sort of playing some of this music. So it sort of became that people started calling the band Black Wall Street, but that repertoire, a lot of it, not all of it, stuff is newer, of course, than the first record, but it w was written after the death of George Floyd.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I don't know how many people really remember that time because we were just hearing about so many young, in particular, Black men and women being killed by police, and it was just over and over, and it was really in your face at the time. And as a people, it's something we've dealt with forever. But I think in that moment, I really was needing and hoping for a space that felt like I could express my Black excellence and where I came from, and so many of the wonderful pieces of the music that I've learned and been a part of growing up. Because, of course, I grew up with a ton of jazz, but my mom listened to hip hop. My mom taught me like all the old school hip hop song tunes when I was growing up, and R&B. Like, my grandparents listened to like James Brown and Motown and soul. But my mom was listening to like TLC, and Biggie. So I had all these influences that I felt like I wanted to put in one place. As far as my writing and the way I write goes, I think because I didn't study music in school, I went to Berkeley, but I studied music business. So when I first graduated from college, I worked at Sony in the copyright department. I was at Warner Chappell in copyright. So like, I really wasn't. I was a lot of my learning that happened on my own and like later after college. So that sort of calculated way of writing that I think a lot of people do tend to pick up in college because of the institutionalization of the music, that space didn't look like that for me. I was really absorbing music by ear the same way I had done it in the house of my grandparents, but just hearing so much different music because of things that were happening around me. So I just, yeah, that the sort of calculated way of writing, I never really wrote like that. I kind of grew up in such a space of like feel and emotion, and I really like to write from that space.
Yeah, but I mean, you would get all of that through osmosis. And it's interesting that you did go to Berkeley, but you ended up working in music publishing. But I truly believe you are exactly where you're supposed to be,
Yeah, I
considering
agree.
like your background. I had a chance to also check you out at Smalls on a YouTube. That was it. That was a beautiful concert. You
Thank
know,
you.
and I think the CD is just very poignant in spaces, like you were mentioning about dealing with all of the murders by the police and whatnot. It's very poignant in places, but it's also extremely hopeful and upbeat. Like Eastern Parkway, the first time I heard that, it does not matter where you are or what you're doing. It takes you to another place. It's just so beautiful and uplifting. What was the inspiration behind that song?
Thanks for asking. That tune, when I think about Eastern Parkway, of course, the whole record is kind of like a love letter to Brooklyn. And Eastern Parkway for me, being from Brooklyn, I mean, it's a street and it's a long street and it covers a large part of Brooklyn. But in particular, the Caribbean heritage in Brooklyn. And when I think about Eastern Parkway, I think about Labor Day. On Eastern Parkway, every Labor Day, there is a West Indian Day Parade, a Caribbean Day Parade, which growing up was like a big part of living in New York for me. Like, people would always be around on Labor Day. And even if you didn't go to the Parkway, people would call it the Parkway. Even if you didn't go to the Parkway, you might like do something at the house and people would barbecue. And my dad is from Trinidad. There's always been kind of like, for me on that side of the family, some Caribbean heritage as far as just musically and food mm-hmm. and culture wise mm-hmm. that I feel like is a really big part of me. Also, just when you're from Brooklyn, it's very common if you're Black for people mm-hmm. to ask you where you're from. Mm-hmm. And they don't really mean like, oh, I'm from Flatbush. They mean, what country are you from? Mm-hmm. Because of how wide the Caribbean heritage is. Most of my friends growing up were from some Caribbean country. Not all of them. I had a lot mm-hmm. of different types of friends, but most of my Black friends. Mm-hmm. So I think musically, just that sort of the rhythm, the beats, the soca, the calypso, it all really has seeped into me. And that's a piece of me that didn't come from my grandparents' side, though. My grandfather loves, he does listen to a lot of like Caribbean and Latin rhythm.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of it from that, but I also got a lot of it really from just like being on the streets and being with friends and being out and going to parties. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just thought about that. When you said Trinidad, your grandfather wrote a couple of really nice tunes when he was with Dizzy. Trinidad Goodbye.
I actually don't know that. Sorry,
yeah, it's on like a Dizzy Gillespie. In fact, I played it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I can go on and on about, you know, Mr. Barron. He is just like one of the, I mean, living under the roof with like royalty. And also, the beautiful thing about the two of you is he plays with you on the album. On Stratford Penthouse, that's the name of the tune, correct?
Yes.
Well, I mean, have you performed with him before? Was it kind of intimidating, or is it just, well, I'm just playing with my grandfather, or tell us about that.
I've performed with him a few times. Mm-hmm. There are some times that are, like, scarier than others. Like, there have been a couple times that they've just been, like, duo, mm-hmm. which for me feels the way it felt when I was a kid. It's comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's always a lesson. There's always such a lesson in just playing duo with him and mm-hmm. listening to him. It's, like, a real true lesson. In February, I think I was at SFF Jazz with him, mm-hmm. And we played a set of Brazilian music SF Jazz with mm-hmm. John Patitucci and some other, and Drummond, and that was a great gig, but I think there are certain gigs, like that one in particular, where like it's music that I'm not playing all the time. Obviously, he runs with some pretty, like, you know, serious musicians, so it's from the downbeat, you could feel the music almost kind of like kick you through the door. I don't know how to explain it. But it really is a special feeling that I feel grateful to have been able to ever feel. I've only been in a few musical situations that it felt really like, but the second we start playing, it's like, whoa, all right. And I'm almost kind of like, it's almost like you know, like when you're walking and there's like a giant gust of wind behind you. Like mm-hmm. you better move. You're going to move whether you want to or not. It really is a beautiful experience, but it can be intimidating, not because of him, but just because I do care to do well, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of doing well, I really like, tell us about the musicians that you have on the album, because it sounds to me like you're basically at the same level. Maybe it's just because I'm not a musician, but it's just such but the band is really tight. And I mean, like I said, there's just so much joy in the music. I mean, you can feel that you guys like playing together.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would definitely attribute it to a couple things. Number one, there's a lot of Brooklyn energy in that band. So mm-hmm. in writing this music and in dealing with the way I wrote this music, there was a certain, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's almost mm-hmm. like a certain type of twang, mm-hmm. almost like a dialect when I think about musicians from Brooklyn that it's tough for people to recognize what it is because so many musicians moved to New York. Mm-hmm. So musicians who are New Yorkers, obviously this is nothing new, but musicians who are New Yorkers, sometimes it's a little bit harder to find what our style really is. However, I do really feel like us being from the same place and having sort of a common ground in the way we hear things, mm-hmm. certainly for myself, the drummer, David Fraser Jr., and for Parker McAllister, like they're, you know, on the first record, I had a friend named Paul Wilson who's also from Brooklyn, so it was a lot of Brooklyn in there. The other thing I would say is I picked those particular musicians on chord instruments because I have a keyboard player, Axel Tosca, mm-hmm. and a guitarist, Corey Sanchez, who works a lot in like just like the R&B and pop and hip-hop world, mm-hmm. but they, as core players, they really listen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love to play with them, because you have three instruments that can play chords mm-hmm. in one band. And easily, I mean, I've done many gigs where we played just as quartet or just as quintet, but it never sounds the same as it does with the seven pieces. And it's just because, for some reason, the way Corey, the guitar player, sits on top of people, I mean, mm-hmm. he really knows how to fit exactly where he needs to. Axel's incredible. I feel really, really blessed. I used a friend named Haley Neiswanger, who plays woodwinds, and she did all the horn parts on the interludes, which are like mm-hmm. the interludes are string arrangements mm-hmm. with the horns. I mean, of course, you're listening to the talking, so you're not always quite there, but we've been friends for many, many years. We became friends here in New York. So just like having people who are close to you and are, they understand what you're trying to go for musically, and also just like socially and politically, everyone that I play with is in the space where they understand the importance of Black musicianship and, mm-hmm. and Black music, and also understand me being a Black woman. And for me, the importance of being able to have my voice out here, particularly as a voice that, at least in my opinion, doesn't quite look like anything that I'm looking at right now, just like as far as like the instrument that I play, mm-hmm. the thing I'm trying to say, you know.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that you really do have something to say, because of course, being a Black woman as well, so many times people just don't really hear us, which is really important. Mm-hmm. Like you covered Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. People have this mm-hmm. kind of preconceived notion about us. You know, we've heard that the right. angry Black woman, the this, that, the other.
Right.
And we
aren't
given the freedom or the privilege to be multifaceted human beings.
Right. And I love that you said that, because that's mm-hmm. exactly why I chose that tune.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. and that's quite an honor to Nina Simone and some other people. Mm-hmm. And that's why you chose it. But that thinking, like coming behind Nina Simone, that's
Oh, my gosh.
Intimidating.
I hope I did it a little bit of justice.
I dug it. You know, was vibes your first instrument or?
No. I started as a kid on piano.
Okay.
On piano. My grandfather taught me. He actually was not my first teacher. He would sit down and the way we studied mostly in life has always been very like, listen, play. He doesn't really do the whole, at least with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he might do that with like, you know, when he was teaching at Rutgers or Juilliard or with mm-hmm. those students, but it wasn't a whole lot of like, play this scale or play this. He might say, oh, I use this, but play this like me. It was very much listen and repeat. Was how I learned. And so when I got my first like sort of formal training, I had a classical teacher. Mm-hmm. Then I switched to drums. Then I played upright bass.
Oh, wow.
Vibes was after all of that. So it was sort of the last thing that sort of like catch me out. I will never forget being, I think in eighth grade or ninth grade, and playing Take the A Train and playing that line. That was, you know, I remember playing that on Vibes and being like, okay, I think I can actually like, I gotten my sticking together, and after that, I was sort of just hooked, you know.
I know. There are just so many wonderful young Vibes players. I'm glad to include you and you and this young brother, Jalen Baker, and, of course, Warren Wolf, and that's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. Are you planning on doing another recording, or tell us what you have planned for the future?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'm playing gigs, and we're working on booking these, you know, summer festivals and all that. I'm definitely going to put out another record. I know the theme, but I'm not going to let it out just yet. To be honest, I think for as long as I can remember, mm-hmm. I've been writing. I have not always, because of doing other things, I haven't always been in the space of like, I'm going to be a performer, but I have always written since I was young. Mm-hmm. And that's really my first love. And I think now that I've gotten to the point of being able to understand how to put out a record and what it feels like to release your art and all the different facets, I'm still learning, of course, it's still new, but I hope to record and continue put out music as long as it's in me, which hopefully it has been forever. So I'd mm-hmm. assume it could be forever. So, you know, I think you can definitely continue to expect more.
Are you doing any poetry or anything? Any kind of writing like...
I'll say this, because of my just love of hip hop and mm-hmm. my being immersed in it because of where I'm from, and I've always been into writing, mm-hmm. been into English, was into poetry for a bit, but I was really into rap and hip hop. And there were some spaces and things in hip hop that I didn't love, but when I started to really find the artists and the wordsmiths that I really like to study, mm-hmm. Because I love lyricism. The people who follow me and who've been following me for a long time and have like, performed at some of the old like Brooklyn parties that we used to play at. You know, I rap. You know, I try to be mindful of my audience and fit it in when it makes sense. But I definitely, this record, to be honest, it was, I rapped less. I actually planned to rap not at all, but I ended up doing it. But for the next record, I'm sure there will, I think there will always be some sort of element of words, whether that be sort of like a spoken word thing or a hip hop thing, you know.
Who are some of the hip hop artists who inspire you?
Oh, that's a great question. We talk about popular music today. I'm a pretty big Kendrick Lamar fan. I love Kendrick. Yeah, I grew up, I mean, as far as rap, I grew up, as, of course, being from Brooklyn. I listened to a lot of Big growing up. Very into Outkast. You know, maybe not Andre's stuff, but when he's rapping, I love his stuff. I also, you know, I would say just my love for hip hop does kind of span, because there was also, you know, music, party music. Like I used to rap like Ludacris and like, you know, when the Southern hip hop sort of became big, I was into that. You know, there's a lot of different music that I really love. Tribe Called Quest. I love Tribe. I could talk about that for days, but yeah, hip hop artists that I continue to follow.
That's true. I mean, I remember when it came to prominence in the 80s, to me, it just seemed like so much, a lot more fun party music, you know. The worst you would hear about a woman was, I think it was Run DMC, they had something called a dumb girl, you talk too much, you never shut up. And what was the one, you had a big mouth, the big mouth. That's the worst they would say. And it became a point where it was just so ugly and misogynistic.
That, for me, is one of the rougher spots of the music, in particular because when you compare it to other music, it feels like hip-hop, which is obviously an extremely popular, that seems to be the only genre that I can think of that is that openly misogynistic.
Exactly.
Because I don't seem to, like, hear or experience those things. We're talking about, like, even in, like, punk rock or metal. There might be some, I mean, of course, listen, there are always going to be those exceptions. But like I said, as widespread as it is, that is a little bit tough. And I think something as a community to certainly to look at and unpack.
Absolutely. But I could talk to you forever. I'm just so happy for you, happy for your success. This record is just beautiful. On a personal tip, I really need to hear something like this at this point in my life. I mean, you know, and I really thank you for your inspiration. And of course, the apple clearly does not fall far from the tree. And it's nice to actually, you know, kind of quote unquote meet you, because I know you from the, well, I don't know you, but from the song that your grandfather wrote about you.
Nakara song. Yeah.
Beautiful tune. Beautiful.
Wow. I love that tune. And I've never played it out. I've played it by myself on the piano. I'm like, I wonder, it's such a beautiful tune. I got to play it one day.
It is. It really is. Thank you so much, Nakara.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
And I wish you the best in all that you do.